We're going to be back in Psalm 71 in a minute, if you want to put a marker there. But in the meantime, turn over to Acts chapter 1, please. Let's start in Acts chapter 1 this morning. Glad to see everybody here. Appreciate the great blessing of rain that we're having here. Looks like it's still raining, but dying off a little bit. It's not pouring down like it was earlier. But we're happy that we can all be in this nice, cozy environment, opening up God's Word to see what He has for us this morning. I want to talk about serving Christ when you're not a spring chicken anymore. I want to talk about old age, although I didn't use old age up there, just spring chicken. You're not a spring chicken. If you feel like you're not a spring chicken anymore, this sermon is for you. I'll let you decide if you're in that category or not. A gray head is a crown of glory. It is found in the way of righteousness. Proverbs 16 and verse 31. You know, a lot of our preaching and teaching is geared to young people, and that's good. You know, it's not unusual. Churches have youth lectures or stuff like that, you know, special things for young people, and that's good. And last week, that's what we did. We had a sermon about Christians on campus and college is starting, and so we had a sermon about that, and especially for our college folks. And that's good. We want to get people to remember their Creator in the days of their youth, Ecclesiastes 12:1, and to recognize that's a special time of life. It's critical that we get exposure during that time of life to God's Word, to His truth and His love, and that's a good thing. And so in a congregation like Benchley, where we have a lot of young people, it would be really bad if we neglected that need and never talked about the special challenges and things of our young people. But we don't want to neglect everybody else. We don't want to only focus on young people to the neglect of middle-aged folks and older folks and that sort of thing. And so from time to time, we have lessons like this one that we're about to have. We think about older folks, the special challenges, the circumstances that are there, some verses that are especially relevant in that stage of life, and we want to try to give some encouragement in that realm as well. So let's talk about some spiritual points for older folks this morning. First of all, I think that in this season of life, older folks have the wisdom, the experience to understand that you can be realistic but optimistic. Here's what I mean. Turn over to Acts chapter 1. One of the blessings of being older is the knowledge that you've accumulated over the years. You know, you just learned some things. You've been around the block a time or two. You've seen a lot of stuff, good and bad. And one of the things that older folks have, the life experience and the maturity to realize is that all too often things do not go as they should. And so you're realistic about things. You've seen the way things play out a lot of times. And here's what should happen, but a lot of times that's not what happens. Acts chapter 1 and verse 16, brethren, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit foretold by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus, for he was counted among us and received his share in this ministry. Here's a reference back to Judas, the apostle who betrayed Jesus. Should that have happened? Well, it did. That's what he chose to do. Judas fell away. The example of Judas, I think, brings comfort to a parent or a grandparent who has had children or grandchildren who have gone down the wrong path. And you are optimistic and you are trying for the best and you're trying to affect that situation in the best way that you can. You're going to pray and you're going to talk whenever possible. You're going to teach. You're going to do all of that stuff and whatever you can to try to bring about the best end result. But you're also realistic. And at this point, you realize people make choices and you can't control other people's choices. And sometimes bad things happen, and sometimes the people we love the most break our hearts because of the choices they're making. Sadly, that's the case. Look in Psalm 71, please. Appreciate Tanner reading the first few verses here. Psalm 71 appears to be written by someone who considers himself either old or on the cusp of old age. I can't really tell here. But in chapter 71 and verse 9, he said, "Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails." Okay, so he's talking about that time of life. In verse 15, Psalm 71, 15, "My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and of your salvation all day long, for I do not know the sum of them. I will come with the mighty deeds of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, yours alone. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and I still declare your wondrous deeds. And even when I am old and gray, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to all who are to come." You notice there that he wants to teach the younger generations. And he said, "I've had this history with God, and I've learned over the course of my life to trust in God, to put my faith in Him. And I want to tell the younger folks about that. And so I have something here that I can offer to others. And he's going to be able to draw on his past experiences to do that. Dropping back to verse 5, Psalm 71, still verse 5. For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my confidence from my youth. By you I have been sustained from my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. I have become a marvel to many, for you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all day long. Now, it's good to hear middle-aged people say that, younger people say that, but what about an old person who's talking to you? And they're saying, look, I have learned over the course of my life, I've had a lot of bad stuff happen. I've learned to trust in the Lord. He is my refuge. Does that mean something? Is that special? Coming from somebody who's been through whatever it is that they particularly have been through. And so we have passages like that. Psalm 71 is a great one that show us of the value of old people, that realism that's there, that things don't always work out the way they're supposed to, but they're still optimistic. Their trust is in God. Their faith is in God. Go over to the book of Philemon, please. Find Philemon, that little page right before Hebrews. Look in the book of Philemon and notice what the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to call himself in this letter that he's writing here. He's appealing to Philemon out of love to do the right thing, which in this case is to receive Onesimus back. And in Philemon verses 8 and 9, he says this, Philemon verse 8, therefore, though I have enough confidence in Christ to order you to do what is proper, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you. Then look what he says, since I'm such a person as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Paul the aged, your translation just might come out and say old man or elderly man. Paul's inspired to call himself that. Now, he's about 60 at the time he writes this. I don't know how you feel about that, but 60's looking younger all the time to me. But he's inspired to say, here I am, I'm appealing to you. I'm Paul the old man. It's me in prison. Paul the old man in prison. I'm appealing to you to do this good thing for Onesimus. And so in this season of life, can you do something like that? To follow the lead of Paul? Can you appeal to people? Can you make requests? Can you ask? Can you suggest? Can you advise? Absolutely. And maybe you're in a special place in your position to do that very thing, that people would afford you enough respect that it would carry some weight for you to say that, as opposed to a 20-year-old or something. Paul said, I'm the age. I'm the old Paul in prison. Will you please do this for me? Now, will people always do what you request? You know the answer. That's where the realism comes in. You know it doesn't always work out like it should. Look back in the Old Testament again, please. 2 Samuel this time. 2 Samuel chapter 19. Another part of being optimistic and realistic involves the natural aging process. The body itself and the aches and pains that accumulate over time. 2 Samuel, this is chapter 19. You know, the good health of youth does not last forever. And you may say, yeah, that's exactly right. I couldn't agree with you more. You may have already developed enough medical things, you know, that you understand exactly what that's talking about. Aches and pains, you don't need a reminder about that. Look in 2 Samuel 19. There's an interesting fellow over here, verse 31 beginning. This is a guy's name is Barzillai. Barzillai was an old man who had helped King David. The context here is when King David had been having problems with his son. This is when Absalom is trying to usurp the throne from him. And David's had to kind of run and go into hiding for a while. Barzillai is one of the guys that helped him. Barzillai, this old man, helped King David when King David was on the run. And now the situation is resolved. David is heading back home to sit back on his throne, be in power again, and all that stuff. And he meets with Barzillai. That's what we're reading here. 2 Samuel 19, verse 31. Now, Barzillai the Gileadite had come down from Rogelim, and he went on to the Jordan with a king to escort him over the Jordan. Now, Barzillai was very old, being 80 years old, and he had sustained the king while he stayed at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. The king said to Barzillai, you cross over with me, and I will sustain you in Jerusalem with me. In other words, David is saying, look, I want to reward you. You help me in my time of need. I'm going to take care of you. Come over, cross over with me. I want to take care of you. But look at his response. Verse 34, Barzillai said to the king, how long have I yet to live that I should go up with the king to Jerusalem? I am now 80 years old. Can I distinguish between good and bad? Or can your servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Or can I hear any more the voice of singing men and women? Why then should your servant be an added burden to my lord the king? Your servant would merely cross over the Jordan with the king. Why should the king compensate me with this reward? Please let your servant return, that I may die in my own city near the grave of my father and my mother. However, here is your servant Chimham. Let him cross over with my lord the king and do for him what is good in your sight. The king answered, Chimham shall cross over with me, and I will do for him what is good in your sight, and whatever you require of me, I will do for you. All the people crossed over the Jordan, and the king crossed too, and the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him, and he returned to his place. Now, I think it's an interesting little story that's included there by inspiration that we can read about this older gentleman named Barzillai and this kind gesture he had in taking care of David, and then also in this courtesy, in this kindness, in this graciousness, and saying, I don't need all that stuff. Let Chimham go. I'll be over here. I'll be fine. Just let me be. I think that's just such a great example of aging gracefully, accepting the season of life that he's in, and being kind and generous and courteous about that. He did what he could to help in his time of need, and apparently that was a lot. When David was in need, and Barzillai steps in and supports him, but he's also free to admit his age and his frailties. This is in the days before cataract surgery and everything else that helps us today maybe to help sustain things a little longer. May we all face old age like Barzillai and the declining health that was there and eventually, of course, death. Help us face it with the dignity that this elderly gentleman had, this man Barzillai. You know, sometimes older people are the most content people you'll find. They might have the hardest lives, but they're the most content. Through their maturity, through their faith, they've been through hard times. They know there are more on the horizon. Maybe every day at this point is a hard time. And if they can simply have a day where they're able to open their eyes, be alive, as Dad used to say, above ground instead of underground, and you spend maybe some time with a loved one, you have a decent meal, they're happy, content. Just a simple day on God's green planet. And content. No exotic vacation needed, although those are fun too. No need to spend thousands of dollars doing something. Just a simple day, relatively problem-free, on God's planet. And of course, even when the body is wearing out, Christians are optimistic. Paul said, therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. 2 Corinthians 4:16. The context there, he's really talking about persecution and the hardship involved with that. But I think the principle applies to the effects of old age as well. We can be realistic, but optimistic. Secondly, younger folks should honor older folks. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 5, please. 1 Timothy chapter 5. It's clear in both the Old Testament and the New Testament that God shows respect to older people. He said, the glory of young men is their strength, and the honor of old men is their gray hair. Proverbs 20, verse 29. Here in 1 Timothy chapter 5, you have a passage about widows and instructions. How do you treat widows? And so in 1 Timothy 5, for example, in verse 3, he says, honor widows who are widows indeed. There's some honor that needs to be done there. And he's talking about a special sort of thing here in this context. But just notice for now, the honor afforded to widows. And then in verse 9, a widow is to be put on the list only if she's not less than 60 years old, having been the wife of one man, having a reputation for good works, and if she has brought up children, if she has shown hospitality to strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has assisted those in distress, and if she's devoted herself to every good work. Okay, so why is this kind of woman to be honored? Well, he says, look what she's done with her life. Look at the honor that she's shown to others. Look at the work that she's done. Look at her experience. She spent her life serving God, serving her family, serving others, and now she deserves to be honored. She deserves to be respected, not hung out to dry and forgotten. Look over the book of Philippians, please. Back up a few pages. Philippians chapter 3. The rest of us can appreciate our brothers and sisters who have made it to old age and are still faithfully fighting the devil. They're still in the fight, still doing what they can. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17, brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. Now, That's not an old person passage per se, but a lot of the times the ones that we're looking to, the examples that are out there before us, are going to be older folks. Now, hopefully there's young folks, middle-aged folks also that can be examples, but older folks who are examples to us, and we want to follow the pattern that they're setting for us. Look at what they're doing, and they serve as our examples. And so with those kind of things in mind, I'm just so encouraged by the older folks that we have at Benchley. If we stop and think about everybody in this room right now, and others would want to be here today but couldn't be, who are struggling with arthritis and vision problems and aches and pains and cancers and heart problems and on and on and on, and yet, unless they're just having a really bad day, they're here. As often as they can be, they're here. And when they're not here, they're serving the Lord where they are. And their heart and their life is dedicated to Him. You know, years ago, it was easier to do things that are very hard to do now. It was easy to do something as simple as reading the Bible. Now you need a magnifying glass and you need no telling what. And it's just harder to do things. When you're in your 30s, you could cook a meal for somebody and you could bathe three kids and you could help on a school project and you could go grocery shopping and you could do all that stuff. And now just thinking about all that gives you heart palpitations. Things are just different now than they used to be. And we appreciate that in that stage of life, you're plugging away. We respect you. We honor you for what you're doing. Your love for the Lord, your love for the rest of us in those ways. We know it takes longer. We know it's harder to do things. It takes you longer to do even a percentage of what you used to do, and that's okay. But we love you for your character, for your attitude, and for your love for God and others in these days when the physical body is just not what it used to be. And so, thank you. Thank you to all of our older folks who are here at Benchley. We want you to know we love you. Thirdly, you ain't done yet. Look back at the book of Psalms, please. Psalm 92 this time. Psalm 92, another great psalm addressing these needs in this season of life. Psalm 92, let's start down in verse 12. Psalm 92 in verse 12. The righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still yield fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and very green to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. I love that line in verse 14. They will still yield fruit in old age, still bear fruit in old age, the ESV says. And so it's not like we turn a certain age, 60, 70, 80, 90, whatever old age is. Not like we reach a certain birthday and the Lord says, well, you're not useful anymore. You're done. God never pictured it that way. Look over the Gospel of Luke, please, chapter 1. As you're turning to Luke chapter 1, think about Abraham and Sarah in the Old Testament. Remember, Abraham and Sarah were 100 years old and 90 years old, respectively, when Isaac was born. Can you imagine that, being 190? Here's a newborn baby back in Genesis 17. Old, but still had work to do to carry out God's plan and to raise that boy. Here in Luke chapter 1, and in verse 36, and behold, even your relative Elizabeth has conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. Here God is using Elizabeth to conceive a son in her old age. She gives birth to John the Baptist. After Jesus is born, now Mary and Joseph were young, but after Jesus was born, they go to present at the temple and everything, and in chapter 2, you see that God used an old lady named Anna, this prophetess who was there, to praise God and to speak his truth. Look in Luke chapter 2 and in verse 36, it says, and there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers. At that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Here again, another example. Here's Anna, an old lady. What good is she? Well, she's encouraging this young couple as they carry out God's will. God's using her as a prophetess. Do you know of a better way to spend your time than the way that God is using Anna in her old age? Or Moses, we could look at him. Moses' life was two-thirds over before he ever stood before Pharaoh in Exodus 7 and verse 7. He is 80 years old when all of that starts. He lives to 120, but he's 80 years old when all of that stuff starts. He yielded fruit in his old age until he died at age 120. God wrote this as part of his old covenant law with Israel. You shall rise up before the gray-headed and honor the aged, and you shall revere your God. I am the Lord. Leviticus 19:32. So that was just baked in. That was part of Israel's law and covenant with God. You got to honor the old folks. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 3. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, as we think about the new covenant and our obligations before God today, and in 1 Timothy 3, the criteria for elders are being listed here. One of the things that it lists in verse 6, 1 Timothy 3:6, is an elder cannot be a new convert, so that he will not become conceited and fall into the condemnation incurred by the devil. And so God specifically said an elder can't be, the literal rendering there is newly planted or novice or new convert, however your Bible renders that. And God is not putting a certain age on that. You notice he's not saying, okay, it's got to be this many years old or whatever. But it's easy to see the overall point, especially with the other criteria listed there. Here's somebody that's had family life. You know, he's lived with his wife. He's raised his kids. You see his character because of that. He's not a new convert. And so putting all of that together, you see, here's a man of some age. You can't be 20 years old and have fulfilled all those things. So here's a man of some age. That's the sort of man that would qualify to serve as an overseer in that capacity. And so time and time again, we read Old Testament, New Testament, examples of people, instructions regarding people, and it shows us you ain't done yet. When you get to this older age, whatever that is, you ain't done yet. Keep serving God. In Zimbabwe, there's a psychiatrist named Dixon Shibanda. I first heard about this guy from Warren Berkeley, used him as an illustration in one of his sermons. So this is a picture of Dr. Shibanda, psychiatrist in Zimbabwe. Years ago, he realized that there were not enough mental health professionals in Zimbabwe to cover the population that they had. In fact, he was one of only five psychiatrists in the entire country of Zimbabwe. There were a few psychologists too, but he's one of only five psychiatrists in a country of 10 million people. And so there was just no way they could cover the people that were in crisis, the people that were about to commit suicide, the people in just having terrible breaks. There's just no way that a few mental health professionals could cover the entire country. And it came to a head one day when one of his patients, Erica, a 25-year-old young mother, didn't have the $15 to get on the bus to come and see Dr. Shibanda, and she committed suicide on her family's property there. And so Dr. Shibanda is distressed about that. What are we going to do? Here's all these people that need help, and there's not enough mental health professionals to help them. What are we going to do to help people? And so he came up with a plan. Let's train regular people. Not psychiatrists, not psychologists, not just regular people who are already in the villages, they're already in the communities, and they're just going to help. Who can we get to do that? So who would do something like that? Here's people in crisis. They need help. Who can we get to step up and volunteer and do this job? You know who he got? Grandmothers. Grandmothers in Zimbabwe. He started with a group of 14 grandmothers. Not professionals, just grandmothers. They've had that life experience. They're a little bit older, a little bit wiser. Grandmothers who were willing to volunteer their time and listen to people's problems. And so he started with a group of about 14 grandmothers, gave them some basic training, and said, okay, go out. They set up these benches. You can see some here. They called them friendship benches. And they just put those benches throughout various locations in the communities, out in the villages, out in the areas where people are. And anybody who were suffering from anxiety or depression or anybody, anything like that, thinking about suicide, could just come up and talk to a grandmother. Here's a service that's provided to the community. Just come and sit on the bench and talk to a grandmother. Do you think it worked? The results were astounding. In fact, they did some clinical trials of this program later on, and they found out that the grandmothers were more effective than the doctors at intervening and helping people who were suffering from depression and generalized anxiety disorders. CBS Sunday Morning interviewed Dr. Shibanda and asked him, what was so special about grandmothers that this program is so successful? Here was his response. He said, well, the natural abilities that come with having a long-lived life on the planet. They've seen a lot. They've experienced a lot. They have the battle scars of life, which they bring to the bench. All we're doing as Friendship Bench is helping them to use those stories, those experiences, to help others. In other words, the secret sauce was just their grandmas. They're patient, they're kind, they're loving, they're listening to these people deal with their, express their problems and helping them deal with their problems and find some solutions there. And so as you might imagine, word got out about this program and how successful it was. Dr. Gibanda has done a TED Talk. He's been on news shows all around the world. The Friendship Bench program has been so successful. It expanded far beyond that original group of 14 grandmothers. Now it includes over 3,000 older listeners, not just grandmothers, but older listeners. They've helped over 860,000 people so far who've come to sit on a bench. The program's in 9 different countries, including the United States. How about that? The power of old people. You know, as Bible readers, didn't we already know that? Don't we already know the power, especially grandmothers? I'm mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm sure that it's in you as well, 2 Timothy 1:5. We've already known this. It's in there the whole time. How about Titus 2, where it's talking to older women, telling them, you need to be teaching what is good so that you may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. We knew the power of grandmothers. Stop and think, what would Benchley be like if we didn't have any older people? I hope I never find out. May God bless you. Thank you for who you are, for the service you offer to the rest of us. Your faith, your love. I love that our older folks make this congregation strong and grounded and active and loving. We need old people who love God. We need people who've weathered the storms of life. We need you to show us the way. We need you to be like the people that are writing those psalms we read that say, I've been through all this, and I'm telling you, my refuge is God. Thank you for offering that to us. May God bless you in this season of life. If we can help you, any of us that are here today struggling in a spiritual way, to accept Christ, to be restored and reconciled to God through Christ, if we can help you in that walk, and you want that to be made known publicly, please come forward while we stand and sing to encourage you.